I'm done doubting Russell Wilson. But his ability to stay calm and lead drive, whether it's week two or the playoffs or the Super Bowl, he always puts them in a position to be successful.
And Russell takes the snap, drops back. He's going to throw down the middle. He's got a man. The ball is caught.
Game over, baby.
Touchdown. The game is over. The Seahawks are going back to the Super Bowl.
This is Hawks Talk.
Happy Monday to you, Seahawk fans, and welcome into another edition of Hawks Talk here on CSN. As always, I'm your host, Joel Gunderson, and unfortunately now for the second week in a row, we don't get to talk about a Seahawks win today. After last week's bizarre 6-6 tie to the Arizona Cardinals, Seattle again headed out on the road, this time to New Orleans to take on the 2-4 Saints. Now, heading into the game, we talked an awful lot about the Saints and their struggles this season. But the one area that they've been able to remain consistent in has been through the air. Drew Brees was leading the NFL in passing, and as a unit, the Saints were still a threat to put up points. But their run game had been pretty anemic, and the Seahawks' run defense had been stout, giving up just 84 yards per game on the ground. And New Orleans was only rushing for 84 yards on the game. So it kind of viewed that as going to be a wash and something that wouldn't really matter. So naturally, Sean Payton, head coach of the Saints, completely flipped the script, and they relied on the running game almost exclusively, taking the ball out of Brees' hands yesterday. Instead, Tim Hightower finished the game with 102 rushing yards. He was the difference. New Orleans completely dominated time of possession, 36 minutes to almost 24. And by doing that, they kept the Seahawks offense from getting any sorts of momentum throughout the entire game. Now, Seattle struggled out of the gate. They jumped out to an early 7-0 lead after an Earl Thomas returned a fumble for a touchdown, but they could never sustain any type of momentum, especially on offense. There was no running game at all. The receivers were doing Wilson no favors. Jimmy Graham and his return to New Orleans was completely ineffective, and the defense would end up allowing 4 field goals on the day, and that's important because what it was showing was that New Orleans was able to put together long, yard-chewing drives, as we talked about, that leads back into that time of possession. So from the moment this game kicked off, Seattle was not able to play their game. They weren't able to control the clock on offense, and on defense, they weren't able to stop. But despite the challenges, Seattle actually still had a chance with the ball at the end of the game with the chance to win. After New Orleans kicked their 4th field goal to go up 25-20, Wilson was able to march the team down to the 10-yard line, and on the final play of the game, after he spiked it with 2 seconds to go, he actually hit Jermaine Kearse in the back of the end zone, but Kearse came down out of bounds. He got 1 foot in, the second foot came out, and New Orleans was able to escape with a 25-20 win. And in the process, they may have helped save their season. They improved to 3-4 on the year, and they're in the wide-open NFC South, which is there for the taking with Carolina struggling and Tampa Bay struggling. So this was a really important win for New Orleans. It wasn't a damning effect or a damning loss for Seattle per se, because no one else in the NFC West is doing anything in the moment to speak of. But this was a game that clearly looked like it was more important to New Orleans, and that was evident from the moment the game kicked off. I mean, they looked like the team that wanted it more. They had more heart. They had more energy. And for Seattle, this was the second straight frustrating game from an offensive standpoint. Now, at this point, it's painfully obvious to anybody watching that Russell Wilson is hurt. He's not injured because he can still play, but he's hurting. He's lost the ability to use his feet. His pectoral issues are affecting his throws. As we learned this week, we don't know the extent, but he has essentially a tear in his pec muscle. And for the first time in his career now, with these injuries or these dings that he has, he can't rely on a running game to bail him out. Marshawn Lynch isn't there, as we've talked about many times. And in the running game, it's had a spark or two this year where you thought maybe they were starting to get some momentum, but nothing. He cannot consistently turn around and hand the ball off and know that they're going to get 3, 4, 5 yards from anybody on the roster. Now, Wilson's still not completely ineffective. He threw for 253 yards yesterday, but he finished with a 38.3 quarterback rating, and I think that goes to show that even though he's compiling some yards, it's not effective. They're not going anywhere. They're not striking fear in their opponents. They're not throwing the ball downfield. Now, he's used Jimmy Graham really well the last few weeks, as we've talked a lot about. And on Sunday, that was not there. And I wonder if this was New Orleans almost game planning to take Graham out, you know, as a, I don't know, some kind of a revenge factor or whatever, even though they're the ones that traded him. But they made that a real priority to take Graham out of the game, and it was very effective and really took away a large chunk of what Seattle has going for it right now. If it's not Doug Baldwin, it's not Jimmy Graham. Right now, there's not a whole lot going on. Now, yesterday was kind of a different game all the way around. From the outset, it was really evident that there was a major hangover effect from Seattle. Last week's game in Arizona, it appeared, really took an emotional toll on the Seahawks, I thought. They didn't play bad. Like I said, after a few breaks and a really well-executed trick play, they actually led this thing 14-3 at one point. But you could see it in the way they were playing that the whole day would be a struggle. Their body language was just off. It almost looked like they were tired. And this is going to be something to pay attention to as the year progresses, because when they had their bye week 2 weeks ago, at the time, it was perfect. They were beat up physically. Wilson needed the rest. The running backs were a mess. The offensive line was still figuring things out. So having such an early bye week was a mini blessing in disguise. But now the Seahawks are going to finish the season playing 11 straight games. They won't have that opportunity to take more mental breaks. If guys start breaking down physically, there won't be anything they can do about it. Now, not every game is going to be as hard to bounce back from as the Cardinal game was last week, but still, there will be times going forward when they need a week to recuperate, whether it's mentally or physically, but they won't have it. And that is where the veteran leadership is going to have to step up. Guys like Wilson and Richard Sherman, Michael Bennett, Earl Thomas, players whose voices resonate throughout the locker room, they're going to need to make sure the mental state of this team stays strong. Because when they hit the dog days of the season, and even though the NFL season only has 16 games, they still hit it as well, probably in about 4 or 5 weeks. They're really going to have to start digging deep. After the game, Coach Pete Carroll had his press conference, and he was a bit more optimistic than you may expect coming off the last 2 weeks with the tie and now the loss. But his team is still 4-2-1. They have a nice stretch coming up where they can see their place in the pecking order. They have a couple challenging games, which will show them where they're at. They have a couple games that they absolutely should win. So it'll be an interesting time coming up. And Carroll obviously has been through this, and he knows some of the opportunities that are presented in front of Seattle. And here are some of his comments following the game yesterday.
But not enough today, and they did a nice job coaching and playing on the other side. It's a heck of a quarterback. And he did a great job today.
How could you say that coaching could be responsible for like an 11-1 penalty differential? What does a coach
do? Well, we had 11, you know. I can't help it on their side, but we had too many.
How did you feel about the 2-minute drive? You guys last drive, how you used plays there?
I thought it was awesome. Just to get down and have a shot in the end zone was a great job. Great poise, great timing, the kills that we needed to keep the clock aligned so we had a shot at it. I thought it was really well done. Yeah, we just ran the ball just like we know we can, and we got going, and it's a reoccurring theme of not enough runs, but we know we'll be able to run the football. We got to get out of our own way so we can have normal rhythms in the first half of a football game.
On their last possession, they had a second down play where it looked like the guy was tackled out of bounds.
Yeah, it looked like that to me. I don't know what to say about that one. I was working the refs for timeouts if the clock was running, and I don't know. I couldn't. I was on the other side of the field. You guys saw it better than I do. And if there's a gripe about it, you guys write about it. I didn't see it.
What was Hockley's explanation to you?
They said he got knocked back, you know, and he was going, you know, he got hit and got knocked away from the line of scrimmage, so you have to be going out of bounds. If you get knocked back, then forward progress is in the field of play. And I didn't see it that way, but that's what they said.
Looked like an interesting, a little more complex scheme, perhaps, some of the things that double pass, for instance, to try to generate offense?
Yeah, we always have stuff that we're looking for plays, and, you know, and that was really well executed and a great job by the young guys. You know, rookie to rookie was kind of cool.
Their test down and then later that a third down, maybe kind of kick play kind of things, did you have a good look at those at all? Or?
Yeah, I did. I had a really good look at them. Yep.
What
What's the rule on those, on when they're supposed to be flagged and when they're legal in the pit place?
Well, if you illegally, you know, block a guy instead of trying to get out of the way, then it's, and you know, impede a guy's progress to his coverage, then it's a penalty, you know, so we'll see. We'll see how that works. You know, I mean, I can sit here and gripe about stuff. I'm not going to do it. You already said it. It's 10-2. That's the 26th ranked penalty team in the league. They just had a great football game.
The last play to Jermaine. I mean, obviously trying just to do whatever.
Yeah, Russ did a nice job to fix the protection for us so that we could pick up the pressure, and that was where, you know, his throw went, and he gave it a shot. And unfortunately, you know, Jermaine did another extraordinary job and make the catch, and he just couldn't keep his feet in bounds. I think he got the pylon, but he didn't get the ground. So it was, you know, this far from being a spectacular finish. And that's, you know, I don't think anybody who watches us should think that anything else is going to happen. That's the way these guys play. It's the way they battle, and that's what's going to happen every time we go out. And nobody was surprised. We were just waiting to see if we're going to win it.
They've been so good, but how much being on the field, defense being on the field so much the last 2 weeks, do you think that's
common? No. Our guys were fine. They made it through. They're fine in the locker room right now. They bounced back. We did a great job of you know, taking care of the week, and they responded beautifully. They handled it well. The players did, as well as the training group and the performance guys did a great job to get our guys back, because they played like crazy all day long.
And how about in the red zone?
Unbelievable stance. I mean, I don't know how many plays. Might have had 9 plays down there inside the 5 or whatever. That's just a great statement of these guys fighting and clawing and scratching. I mean, everybody makes big plays down there to make that happen. I know Rue made a big tackle to knock them off the goal line where they wouldn't, you know, have a thought of going for it on fourth down. Enormous play at the time, and yeah, I just thought that was spectacular defense.
As I mentioned, Wilson statistically had a good day. He didn't throw for a touchdown, however, which sort of highlights the struggles the offense had in general. The offense managed only one touchdown from Christian Michael, and if it weren't for that Earl Thomas fumble recovery in the first quarter, things really could have turned out a bit uglier than they were. But Wilson, for his part, still feels really good about where the team is headed.
Russell, I guess the last play to Jermaine, what were you trying to do there? How close did you think that was?
I was close. Try to give him a shot, and the corner did a good job of trying to drive him out of the bounds. I think he got one in, and he's trying to get the second one down. So it was a good play by the guy. You know, the last drive was a testament to our resilience. I think, you know, I'm really looking forward to when we just get in that rhythm, you know, once again. And that's really our hiccup right now, just getting in that rhythm and staying on schedule and stopping them with the penalties. And then the turnover, you know, that's my fault. So, you know, the great thing is we have all the players. We have the right system. We have the right coaching staff. We have the right guys, and we're going to be able to do it. And I'm looking forward to that. You know, nothing that we haven't faced before. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, when you really want something, you're going to face some challenges. You're going to face some ups and downs. But you just keep coming back. You just keep putting the hard work in. You keep putting your head down. And that's the only thing we know.
About the last drive, I got in rhythm and getting
that open. I think we made plays again, and I think that sense of urgency. I think we need to continue to play with a sense of urgency. Like I said, the penalties kind of hurt us a little bit. You know, it puts us in long situations. We didn't have those that last drive there, and we got clutch players that make a lot of plays. So we're just gonna stay the course. You know, and like I said, we played a good football team. Obviously, you know, Drew Brees is a great quarterback. It's, you know, a tough environment here. There's no excuse for it. So we just want to continue to look and figure out where we can build, where we can get better. I'm looking forward to seeing where I can continue to get better and how I can continue to help this football team win. And I think it starts from there and just continue to, circle the reins and just continue to keep our heads down, keep working.
Penalties, how different were the plays you ran versus the plays you game
plan? Well, any team, when you're playing the National Football League, when it's third and, you know, 12, third and 15, that's always tough, obviously. There's only so many things you can try to do to get the first down. And so we made some key plays there, like I said, at the end of the game. You think about Doug Baldwin's catch and run, and he almost, you know, scampered into the end zone, which would have been pretty cool. And Jermaine Curse's effort to go catch that last ball, that was great. And the guy made a good play of trying to drive him out of bounds. Curse made a great effort trying to get both feet down. Like I said, unfortunately, we didn't. I think the big thing, too, was Jimmy's third down. We had a chance there. Kind of broke a loose from his guy, and he caught it there, almost got into the end zone there. So I thought he played a great game. You know, there's a lot of good plays in there.
What about the
two rookies collaborated on for 43 yards there. Did you see that coming? Was that something you thought would work in that situation?
Yeah, we definitely thought it would work. It was just a great play. Tanner made a good throw, and CJ made a nice catch and almost got in the end zone. And I believe the next play was a run, and Will Tukuafu helped lead block there, and I think it was Kristen Michael. Kristen Michael ran into the end zone, so that was great.
From your perspective, what has this week been like for Jimmy Graham and this game? And we tried to get him to talk. I know he didn't talk all week. He didn't talk after the game. From your perspective, what's it been like for Jimmy to come back to New Orleans?
Well, Jimmy's been great. He's been focused on playing winning football and doing his job at the highest level. That's a singular focus. And he's a great teammate. Obviously he had a great career here, but he's looking forward to continue to build on what he's been doing and what he's been doing here. He's doing a phenomenal job. He made some great plays tonight. So, I love the guy to death. Just to have a special teammate like in Jimmy and a special person, the person that he is, like I said, he's a true professional. He's focused on doing his job at the highest level, and he's doing that at a high level.
Now, as Seattle prepares for next week's Monday Night Showdown, here's three things I learned coming out of yesterday's loss. Number one, even though they're not the reigning champs, Seattle's going to get everybody's best shot going forward the rest of the year. Now, based on the success they've had the past few seasons, and I'm going to guess due to a little bit of the cockiness that they tend to display, teams want to take them down. Teams want to win every game, but certainly there are opponents that just bring out a little extra in teams. New England does this. Dallas does this. And now I think Seattle's in that category. This year we've already seen them lose to Los Angeles, to Arizona, and now New Orleans. And those are three teams that are not in the upper echelon. Now Arizona was thought to be, but they've really struggled this year. So I think a lot of these teams look at what Seattle has built over the past few years, and they want to get to that place. And there's really no better way to do that and get to that place than to take down the team you're emulating. And that's what Seattle has become. Now, Seattle's schedule is a little more manageable going forward, but if they continue to play down to their competition, things could get a little dicey because teams are going to start to smell blood in the water and say, hey, this is a team that could be ripe for the picking, because we've seen them in games where they should go out and win, where they've really struggled. Number two, CJ Procise is going to make an impact before the season is over. Now, the rookie out of Notre Dame is slowly beginning to find his place, and he's a real weapon. He's not an every down back, but he brings more to the table than just a change of pace. He can really catch the ball out of the backfield, which is huge, a huge thing for this team. Having a back that can be an outlet for Wilson is really, really important right now. And until the offensive line can give him more time, he's going to rely more and more on, he's going to get 1-2 seconds, and then he's going to have to dump the ball off because he's not getting a lot more time. And Procise has by far the best hands on the team coming out of the backfield. He had 4 catches for 80 yards on Sunday, and he carried the ball 4 times for 23 yards. Now, this comparison might seem a little bit bizarre, but stick with me here for a second. He reminds me a bit of Reggie Bush. Now, while Reggie's career never exploded, he was such a weapon, whether it was college or the NFL, where he could run, he could catch, he could return kicks, that he stuck around and ended up having a pretty decent career, not one that lived up to the billing as the number two pick in the draft. But Procise has a lot of that in him when you watch him, where he makes guys miss in the open field. But you know that you can do two things. You can turn around and hand him the ball, and he's going to make a good decision. Or coming out of the backfield, if he gets a catch and he gets some space, he can really make some things happen. So it's going to be a lot of fun to watch him develop, not only this year, but going forward. I think Seattle has a real steal in him. He could be a nice weapon going forward. Number three, he was certainly a controversial pick last year with his past at Michigan, but Frank Clark is turning out to be a real steal. The second-year defensive end, he has 4.5 sacks on the year. He got another one yesterday. Now, Michael Bennett, Bobby Wagner, Cliff Averill, those guys get a lot of praise up front in the front seven of the defense, but it won't be long before Clark is right there in that mix, and you're starting to see, like I said, it's just his second year, but the wheels are starting to turn, and you watch him play, he's not thinking as much, and he's just starting to make football plays, and physically he's always been he always had the ability, and that's why he was, you know, Seattle took a chance on him, even though he'd had a little bit of a checkered past in Michigan. But when guys like that can stop getting in their own way and they learn the playbook and they're just able to do what comes naturally to them, and when they're built like Frank Clark is, that's when it becomes a real player. And it's starting to happen. And if he can continue to grow, Seattle's defensive line is going to be four across. You've got Michael Bennett on one end. Now they got Clark on the other side. And those two could bookend each other and really be a force to be reckoned with. As I mentioned, Seattle faces a tricky Monday night game next week against Buffalo. They're back home, which will be nice. Buffalo's really come on strong as of late, although they were the latest victims yesterday in the Tom Brady revenge tour. But Buffalo can run the ball, and Seattle showed some vulnerability yesterday, so that'll be a big matchup to watch. If the Seahawks can't slow down the rushing attack of the Bills, they're going to be in trouble. This is the first of two Monday night games for Seattle this year, so it'd be nice, I think, to get an extra day off to really recuperate here. They've had a couple really strange weeks, two strange games back to back, and I really think that the hangover effect of Arizona last week played into what happened today. Now they can step back and just kind of say, okay, these last two games, they're a wash. You flush them, they're done. They're still sitting at 4-2-1. They're still atop the NFC West, and right now they don't really have any challengers in the conference. So a loss or two, even another one or two down the road, is not really going to hurt them. It's about getting them right mentally. And I think that having an extra day off, being back at home, Rex Ryan will be in the building. He always brings some energy to it. I think this sets up as a good recipe for Seattle to get back on track. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of Hawks Talk. As always, you can find us on iTunes or at csnnw.com. Now, we'll be back next Tuesday after the Monday game. We'll be recapping, hopefully, a Seahawks win as they look to get back on track on their winning ways. Thanks again for tuning in.